Jim James from My Morning Jacket, welcome to the show. Thank you very much for coming on.
Thank you, Ince.
It's a wonder you are here, because I was reading up about you, and you lost two band members, lifelong friends.
Mm-hmm.
And now most bands would kind of, you know, or a lot of bands, I imagine, would implode when that happens.
Most bands aren't real men.
Oh, I like it. So was there a sort of soul-searching moment where you thought, well, what should we do?
Yeah, there's a lot of confusion. I mean, there was a period that we thought about not going on, you know, just kind of calling it quits, and or maybe being a three-piece.
Yeah.
But then just by, you know, the band itself went and found two new members. You know, we really didn't have any control over it.
I like that.
Luckily, they were great guys and knew all the songs.
It must have been strange, though, having two, like you said, lifelong friends to, you know, suddenly just say, you know what, this is too much for me. Because it was the road, wasn't it? It was the, mm-hmm. the constant
Yeah,
touring.
We just toured ourselves into the ground. Yeah, it was strange. It was sad, but it was also really positive, because I admired them for having the guts to move on and to decide, you know, that that's what they need to do. Because it's once you build up an identity for yourself, even if it's a negative one, mm-hmm. it's hard to lose it sometimes, you know, because that means losing your whole self.
Sure.
But I was. It made them a lot happier, and it made us a lot happier.
It must be awful as well for them to have to come to that kind of realization, because, you know, I guess you spend your whole life wanting to do this, and then when you do it, and you realize, oh, you know, this parts of this industry, or you know, and the rigmarole really aren't for me, and I want to extricate myself from it. That must have been quite difficult.
It is weird, because you never really, when you're 13, jumping off your bed, you know, listening to Nirvana or whatever, you know, you imagine all the good parts, and I think that's what people who've never done it only imagine. They imagine us, you know, constantly riding in limos and, you know, all the trappings of... But, yeah, they don't realize what all it does entail. I mean, if you love it, it's great, because there's a lot of great things about it, but if you're not in it to win it, it can totally destroy you.
I mean, how hard is touring?
You have to compare it to other things, you know, because there's some things about being a construction worker that are a lot harder than touring, but there's some things about being a construction worker that are a lot easier. Like, being a construction worker is a lot harder on your physical body, but you get to go home every day. Like, being on tour, you're always doing things, you're always being jostled around, or you're sitting staring at a wall in a dressing room or a hotel room, or, you know, you're constantly in a state of flux and mm-hmm. kind of bumping around all the time.
Do you know what? I like the sound of it. Sleeping on buses always seems quite exciting. You wake
buses?
You go to sleep, you wake up, you're in a different town.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
For about the first three or four nights, then I imagine you just miss
it. It depends on what town you're going to.
Really?
Yeah.
So what's the hardest slog tour-wise you've done? Have you done sort of literally day here, day here, day here, day here, and you at the end of it, you're
I mean, we usually space them out pretty good. I mean, in the past, we've done some that were a little too hard space, but now for the last year or so we've been kind of, you know, doing it smarter, like doing three in a row and then having a day off, or four in a row and then having a day off, which is manageable.
Where's the nicest place in America to play? Who's most appreciative of?
I mean, Austin, Texas is nice. Louisville's nice. Boston's always really good for some reason.
It's more than a feeling. That's the great thing about Boston. And in terms of your new album, Zed, it's the first album you've done with a producer, and you really did pick a producer, didn't you?
Yeah, we sure did.
I mean, how did that come about? You picked John Leckie, which is just extraordinary. And, I mean, how did that collaboration come about?
We were just trying to decide who to get the engineer the next record, because I've never used a producer before.
Mm.
And Jamie, who works in our management office, brought up John Leckie's name. He's like, what about John Leckie? And I was like, I don't know who John Leckie is. And then he showed me his resume. I was like, well, of course I know who John Leckie is, because he's done all these awesome records, you know. And I realized that he'd done a lot of records that I really loved. So we found out that he was available, and I came over here and had dinner and met him, you know. And
that's a hell of a dinner date.
Yeah, it was. He wanted to do it, and I figured, you know, it was kind of a risk, because you never know until you step in the studio whether somebody's going to be cool or if they're not going to be cool. And I felt like we had something to gain, like we had something to learn.
From someone that doesn't really know how music's made, I mean, what's the difference with having a producer? Because you said you didn't want a producer. What's the difference between, say, having a producer and not having one?
Well, that's a tough question, because there's a lot of different producers. Like, there's a lot of producers that are real aggressive and are made for either bands who don't know what they're trying to do, or for, you know, if they're trying to craft a hit single or something. Mm. a time-tested, proven producer will come into the studio and go, you need to shorten this chorus, and you need to move it here, and you need to make the intro 15 seconds long, and then the first verse has to come in here.
I've only just met you, but you don't seem like you respond particularly well to that.
Yeah, that's what I would get really mad at. But John Leckie is the opposite. Like, he comes in, and we had pretty much all the songs, you know, written and mapped out, and he would just kind of come in and tell us if we were doing a part too long or if he thought a song was too slow or too fast. And then the main thing was just in the studio, making sure all the mic placement and all the sounds were captured well. And then I think the main thing that he did was he was like the quality control agent. He wasn't afraid to tell us if we did
like
a bad
take.
Yeah, like we could do something where we'd think, that was a good take. He'd be like, nah, it's rubbish. But it was cool because we could trust his judgment. You know, like we were like, you're right, we can probably do it better.
Let's check his resume again. Oh, yeah. Well, I suppose we can, yeah. Okay, you're going to do a couple of tracks for us. The first is Off the Record. So
yep.
This is Jim James from My Morning Jacket and Off the Record.